Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You know, this is the last sermon I will preach on Advent this year. And I want it to be a very special time for you. It is the season in which the Lord lives through us in a way that sometimes we wish was every day of the year. Because you can feel the love, the outpouring, the generosity of people at this time of year better than you can almost at any other. But it is far different than that. The feeling that I am talking about is understanding that God's love for us is constant every day of the year. That He came to this world in order to give us the light that dwelled in Him. He said, "These things that I do, you will do, and greater than these things, because I go to be with my Father. And where I am, there you will be also."
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in which to set aside our self-interest, our creature comfort, and come before you with a heart filled with praise and adoration. May you sense a broken and contrite heart that is laid before you in this time of worship. May you be exalted, for it is you that we come to exalt. Is your words we come to hear. And so, Father, anything that I would say that is not in perfect keeping with your will, may it be cast out. May all the things in my life that have brought me to this moment be cast away, and you speak. For yours are the words of life. Yours are the words we've come to hear. And so, Father, may you speak to us today. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, it's an understatement to say that Mary's pregnancy was normal. In our day, birth of a child is normal. We understand it. We expect it. We have a sense of the normality of things. Only when it's not normal, when a child is born without a limb, when a child is born with too many, when a child is born out of time, as it were, do we become involved? I remember Sandra posted on our prayer request a prayer for a preemie that was so premature they didn't think he would live. It was so small. He was in the hospital for months. And yet that child today is walking, running. We are drawn to that abnormality. And so we think that birth is very natural. We even consider natural childbirth without any drugs or stimulants. And yet, there is something about Mary and her birth that is most confusing. You know, Dr. Luke didn't make note of any abnormalities in the pregnancy or in the child. He was a doctor, after all. He was a historian, but he was a doctor, and he didn't bring that to our attention at all, did he? But it seems that the circumstances surrounding the pregnancy of Mary are astounding. They are beyond our understanding. There are things that people didn't understand then and they don't understand now. And if we don't understand it, there's a tendency not to believe it. You know that there were people then, and there are today, who do not believe in the divine intervention. They believe that miracles ceased a long time ago, that there aren't any anymore. Those of us who have experienced the miracle of God's touch know that that's not true. We know it from a personal experience. But at the time that Jesus came to earth, there were all kinds of rumors, nasty rumors. Rumors circulating about Mary and about how she was having a child out of wedlock. She was an unfit mother. She was a terrible person because she had broken her vows to Joseph to keep herself pure. Even Mary's intended, Joseph, heard those rumors, and it was in his mind, because he loved Mary so, to put her away quietly so that no attention would be drawn to the fact that he broke his relationship with her. You know, he saw something with his eyes that his heart could not abide. I have a favorite movie, and most of you know what that is. It's McClintock, John Wayne, and Maureen O'Hara. And I love the scene where John Wayne is celebrating the future nuptials, the future wedding of his housekeeper and the sheriff. And they drink and they get a little under the weather. They're drunk. And so he's trying to help her up the staircase. And they get almost to the top and then they fall down. They make this huge noise. And she lands in his lap. And at that moment, the door opens to Maureen O'Hara's room. And she glares at them with great vigor and fire. John Wayne looks up at her and he says, "Are you going to believe what you see or believe what I tell you?" That's what God was saying to Joseph. Your eyes are lying to you. Mary, take Mary to your wife. She is a virgin. All these rumors are not true. She is a good woman. She is a woman that is going to carry with her and have birth by the Holy Spirit of God. I know you can't see it. But put away her? No way. You've got to recalculate and understand that what faith is not what your eyes see, but what the Word tells you. You know, too often we are like that, aren't we? We listen to the doctors. We listen to all kinds of people. We listen with ears that want to hear certain things. And doctors say they're going to chop off all of our toes, or they're going to do this, or they're going to take out our knee, or they're going to do that, or they're going to, whatever they're going to do. Don't believe your eyes. Believe God's Word. Believe God's promises. God's promises for you are much greater than you can possibly conceive. And that's what Mary did. And that's what Joseph did. You can't believe your eyes when they tell you that the world is all bad. It's not all bad. God has the world in the palm of His hand. He is in charge. You can't be in charge. I've had to say this to Claire. When I took her to Israel, at one time I had to say, Claire, you're not in charge. Amen. Amen. We're not in charge. God is in charge. And it's hard to believe, but that is what faith is. Faith is believing in the substance of things not seen. That's what all of human history tells us. And yet, in all of human history, there is only one birth like this. There is only one virgin that gives birth. And all of human history. And that is hard for people to understand. It's not surprising that Mary was astounded by the news that she would bear the Holy One of God. She said, how can I do this? I have not known a man. How can I know this? I'm a virgin. I can't possibly know this. And yet, she said, be it unto me as you've said. She yielded herself to the Word of God. She had much to think about or ponder in her heart. As a baby grew within her, imagine this now, baby of God, His exact image. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. His exact image is growing within you because it is. That's what sanctification is all about, is being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Mary was the first to have that within her. But as that baby grew, so grew her faith. You know, it's kind of like you and I, when we take a step of faith, we begin a journey, and during that walk of faith, our faith grows and grows and grows and grows. Because like Mary, we see God taking care of us. We see His promises coming true. We know that He is greater than the circumstances all around us. But Mary knew what every good Jewish young woman would know. If people try to understand her faith, and so they think of Mary and they think of every good Jewish girl, and every good Jewish girl went to the synagogue like the men. She sat on the other side, but she still went, and she heard the prophets of old proclaim. She knew. And the baby that was within her grew. And she knew the prophecies of these Old Testament prophets. She knew that Isaiah 7:14 said that a virgin will conceive and bear a child, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. God had prepared Mary for knowing what the angel would say to her. And yet, there is more to it than that. People read Mary's song. The song of Mary is recorded in Luke, and it's in Luke 1:46, and this is what it says. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. And behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him. From generation to generation, He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. People wonder, how could a teenager, an ignorant teenager, write such beautiful things? I mean, the song itself is so wonderful, it's so beautiful, people wonder about its style. How could she write that? Did she write it because she had been in the synagogue and she had heard the Psalms? Surely that was an influence on her, but that doesn't account for why she writes with such clarity and such beauty. It is because the Holy Spirit of God came upon her. It is because she, like the prophets of old, spoke the Word of God. And His Word was beautiful beyond imagining. God prepared Mary through the synagogue, yes. He prepared her also through a personal experience. An angel appeared before Mary, answering her prayer. Her prayer was that the handmaiden of the Lord would be the mother of the Messiah, because she knew Isaiah 7:14. And it is what every good Jewish young girl would pray before she went to sleep at night. And an angel appears at the moment she says that prayer. She knew. She knew because the prayer had been answered and the angel said to her, "You will carry the Holy One of God within you." That's something to ponder, isn't it? When Jesus came into your life, He didn't come in part. He didn't just put His foot in your life. You're not going to be the foot of Christ. Christ dove into you. His whole personality, His whole DNA came within you. And as it came within you, you are to be slowly but surely transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That is who you're supposed to be. His purposes and promises abide in you. Have you ever pondered that in your heart, that you are the steward of such a wonderful, magnificent, divine thing? You, whoever you are, however young you are, however old you are, whether you have a hair on your head or you don't have any hair at all, you still are the one who is the recipient, the chalice in which the Holy One of God is going to live out His life through you. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. You are the light. If you don't open yourself up, you're never going to be the light of the world. You're not going to do anything except keep that under a bushel in your own life. It doesn't do any good there. But she knew. Mary knew she was chosen to carry His promise within her. Do you know that today? Do you know that you are here to carry forth the promise of God? That is the promise? Not what you're whispering to each other back in the back, but what God says to you. What God says. God had prepared Mary through her time. Have you ever pondered those things? You know, few if any of the songs that compare with the ones that comes forth from Mary here. She sings of the joy she has on her heart. She praises God in one of the most beautiful songs ever conceived. Mary's song has that wonderful style. In fact, we wonder how she could do such a thing. But the Holy Spirit of God gave her insight, sight that came within her. She knew. the Old Testament's prophets knew too, because they had that same power come within them. Mary begins by praising God for who He is and expressing how overwhelming her joy is, and how that derives from the knowledge of how He created her, how He now creates within her His own image. All generations shall call me blessed, she says. Now notice that she doesn't sing out, all generations will call me blessed because I can jump higher than anybody else, because I can slam dunk the ball, because I can hit the ball over the goalpost every time, or I can hit it out of the park. She doesn't say that. She doesn't draw attention to herself. She doesn't say, I'm divine. She doesn't say, I'm this, I'm that. She simply says, all generations shall call me blessed. You know, many of us, without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, think of ourselves more than we ought. When we do something that we think is great or the world thinks is great, we quite often try to take credit for it. There is a, outside of one of England's great cathedrals, a graveyard. And in the graveyard, as you go amongst the stones, and some people you will find are doing things and trying to copy the stones, and there are various things that they do. But there is one stone there that says that this woman was born and she died, all that. But the only other thing it says on the stone was, she was the cousin of the Duke of Bedford. You know how that impressed God? Can you imagine going to St. Peter's Gate and having it opened and an angel escorting you through heaven, announcing before you, hey, look, here she is. This was the cousin of the Duke of Bedford. You can laugh because that is funny. It ought to be funny. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care who you were the cousin of or the son of or the daughter of. He wants you to be His. Jesus prayed that we would all be one, that we would be one in Him. God is just not a respecter of anyone. And Mary never exalts herself. Only the grace of the blessings that God has given her. She does not claim to be divine. Rather, she praises God for His holiness. She praises God for His mercy. For doing things that she could not do herself. For choosing her in her humble status as a young woman. She chooses Him. And she was chosen by Him. She sings of the tremendous grace of God. But also she sings about the rejection that God has of men's pretensions. Men's pretensions she does not in any way abide. And so, we see by her song that she knows that God commends her for things, but He also condemns us for our pride and arrogance. We can even hear the words of Jesus coming through her lips. Jesus spoke about the man who boasted that he was not as other men were, that he was a man who relied on his religious virtues. Mary said, He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate boasted that he could have Jesus crucified. What did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, you could do nothing without the power having not been given you by the one who sent. Mary says, those who He hath put down, the mighty, from their seats. Jesus told the story about the man who concentrated his efforts on the accumulation of material and wealth, and planned to retire early and enjoy all of it. Jesus said, but God says, this of you, you fool, because this night your soul will be taken from you. And who then shall spend all of the things you have acquired? Where will it go? Mary said, the rich he sent away. Mary pondered the things in her heart, which led her to a deep faith that would sustain her through all the rumors, all the negative things said about her, all of the scallywags who said terrible things to her. That meant nothing because of her knowledge of what God had promised. God had promised and made her sing a song of joy, praise, and salvation. Can you hear that song? It's the same song of invitation to each of us. Will you receive the Christ child within you today? You know, Sarah was a woman who was barren. God said to Abraham, her husband, you shall go into Sarah and she shall conceive. And Sarah laughed because she was old. She thought that was ludicrous. But when God says something, you can bet your life on it. When God tells you that you are His, that no one can take you from His hand, then you need to believe it. You need to take that into your heart, and not your eyes, but your heart, and believe it. In all the circumstances that come around you, they are being used to test you, to see if you are needing of correction or perfection. And all of us need that. Will you accept the unspeakable gift of God today? Will you take within you the light of the world? Will you honor Him? Will you sing out a praise of invitation to others along the way? Will you, like Mary, not draw attention to yourself, but always point toward the one who she loved, to her Lord and her God? Will you rest on this, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life?
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.